brothers and sisters. This is Brother Larry. We left off our last broadcast of talking about being double-minded as an obstacle to us to draw near to the Savior. So, like I said, I love word studies. So the word double-minded in the Bible is from two Greek words, and these are interesting. It's the word die, which means two, and the word psychos, which is the word for soul. Or is saying a person with two souls, or a person that is living two contrasting lives. He or she is choosing to live one or the other, or trying to serve both. That is the life of the believer, because I'm talking to believers, and so is the scriptures talking to believers here. So he's trying to live for Christ and trying to live for the world at the same time. He's being, or she's being, double-minded. Choosing to live one life or trying to serve both. And we know what Jesus said about that. No one can serve two masters, he says, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. So double-minded means, a Greek word is, you can find it two other places in Scripture. It's the Greek word that's for unstable. It calls it being unstable, which means restless in the original languages. It carries with it a connotation of falseness. So if we're living for the world, we have one foot there, it's a falseness. It's not according to the spiritual nature that Christ has given us. It's a false life. And like I'm saying, we don't want to be phonies. I don't want to be a phony. The worst thing I think is somebody could call me is a phony, or a hypocrite. I want to be genuine. I want to be a genuine believer. I don't want to be double-minded. We're always being tossed to and fro. And that's what Paul says, with every wind of doctrine. And this word is found only two other times in Scripture, and is used in context with false prophets, even though God is talking to believers here. God is saying this: do not live as the unsaved and the false hypocrite does. Do not be double-minded. I want to read you a passage. And Peter gives a remedy here in 2 Peter chapter 3. If you have your copy of the scriptures, and I hope you do, you can turn there. 2 Peter chapter 3, and he's talking in the context of false teachers, where they wrest the scriptures unto their own destruction. And listen to what he says in verse 17 of 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, "You therefore," these are believers, "beloved, seeing you know these things before," and he says, "beware." We always have to be on the alert, and we talked about these in previous broadcasts, of being alert and being aware. "Lest ye also being led away with error of the wicked, when you fall from your own steadfastness." Let me give you a story that I was called to a house when I was a pastor. This is many years ago. And a lady called me, and she said, "There's two Mormons in my basement, and they're trying to convert me. Would you please come over and talk to these Mormon boys?" I did that. They were trying to lead them according to their error, this couple that was in the church. Now, this is a danger we have if we're not near Christ. And we're going to talk about the other reason why this couple had this problem of even inviting these Mormon missionaries into their house. So, being led away with error, and that was a danger for them. when you fall from your own steadfastness. Now, that word steadfast is just the opposite of being double-minded, or be the opposite of being restless. And like I said before, I love to do word studies in the Bible. Here's steadfast. It's the Greek word hydreos, which is hedra, which means seat, which denotes to be comfortable here in this passage, to be fixed morally, to be firm or to be settled in. Just the opposite of double-mindedness. We do not want to be deceived and be like the unsaved. In every wind of doctrine that comes by, we don't want to be deceived. We don't want to lose our seat of fellowship with the Lord. Peter says he's doing this so we are being, if we're doing this, we're being led captive away with error. And how many Christians living on that outer rim of that circle that we talked about are being led away with error? I'm going to say this right now, and I think it's true. If you're near to the heart of Christ and you're seeking Him to be nearer and nearer to Him, you will not be led astray. You will be not led into error. I'm very firm on that. But if you are drifting to the outside, and it's possible we could do that, we're drifting to the outside and being drawn away by our sinful nature or by the wiles of the devil, we are prone to error. Now listen to Peter's remedy, and this is really important. Verse 18 of that same passage, Peter says, "But grow in grace." Grow in grace. Feeding your spiritual man. Feed him. Feed him. Go to church. Pray. Read your Bible. Do all these things that is necessary. Fellowship with other believers of like mind. Do all these things. But grow in grace in the knowledge. Where do we get our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we're going to talk about that. And to Him be glory for now and forever. So let us be steadfast, brothers and sisters. This is the spiritual armor of God. We want to be comfortable. We want to be in the seat of Christ's fellowship. We do not want to be deceived. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be like my old life used to be. I don't want to be like the unsaved and lose my seat. And Peter says we're being led captive if we do that. And none of us want to be a captive. But if we're not close to Christ, that's what will happen. Listen to what Paul says to his believers in Ephesus, which will bring me to the next point, and that's a positive point. And the positive point, not to draw near to Jesus as a believer. Paul says this in Ephesians 4:24. He says, quote, that we from now on be no more children. In other words, let's grow up. Tossed to and fro. That's instability. You're being unstable. Just the opposite of being steadfast. And let's not be carried about with every wind of doctrine that comes along by the sleight of men. I mean, they use the scriptures a lot of times to slight you. And the cunning craftiness. Who's behind all this false doctrine? We're going to major on this when we get to the wiles of Satan. And folks, we will get there someday, believe me. But these are urgent in order to protect us. And that's why I'm talking about this subject before we get to the wiles of Satan. See, it says, don't be carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's in our battle book. It's not too far from there. In the next chapter and a half, he's going to talk about the armor of God. Okay, brothers and sisters in Christ, listen. To live free in Christ is first to be honest with ourselves. Am I being honest with myself about my relationship with Him? Or do I keep making excuses for my actions? You're going to see this is the armor of God as I go on. Oh, he or she has said bad things about me, so I have a right to be angry. And on and on and on the excuses go. It stand opposed to the Word of God. Or we try to hide our true feelings, and we posture, and we make ourselves look like someone we're not. We make ourselves look spiritual, and actually we're double-minded. We go to church, we speak the Christianese, we speak the language, we present ourselves as something that we're not living. It's called hypocrisy. And let's quit making excuses, you and I, for my actions. She or he has said bad things about me, so I have a right to be angry. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. We put on a mask if we don't want to put on those masks. We present ourselves as spiritual when we're bringing grief to the Holy Spirit. Satan, as I said before, knows our sins and our hypocrisy that's within ourselves, and he exploits them. That's the methods that we talked about. He exploits them to his own advantage. Remember, Satan has a method tailored, made for each one of us. Because he's got little demons assigned to us. And he knows our weaknesses. He knows where we're at spiritually. So this brings me to the subject of truth. The truth subject brings me to our spiritual armor, which is found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. Which I will read. It says, quote, Paul says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. I don't believe that Paul is specifically talking about the Word of God. We know that's truth, and we know that Christ is truth. I think this is a product of that. I think what Paul is really talking about is truthfulness. And there's many commentators in their books that would agree with me on this, because the sword is hooked to the belt in our spiritual armor. So he's actually, what I believe, he's talking about being truthful as the Word of God reveals this to us. So, in order to do battle in the spiritual world, I must have truth in the inward parts. That's what God desires. And when we get near to Christ, Christ reveals ourselves, our hearts, so that we can see it. He wants to have reveal that our hypocrisy that's in our heart, maybe that's the reason why people don't get near to Christ. They're always hiding something, but God wants you to come near to him and be willing to do it and say, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest with myself. I'm going to be honest with God, because God sees all. We can't hide anything from God. But the world is watching. And we want to be truthful in the inward parts. And that's only found in Jesus Christ, the true spiritual being. Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And see what happens when we're not honest with God, and we're not honest with ourselves, we're not free people. So let's be honest. Are you going to come near to Christ? He wants you to. He doesn't want to bring out the rod and discipline us all the time. He doesn't always want to have to, so to speak, put his foot down. He wants us to come to him and just be honest. If you remember way back in broadcast, I talked about having our minds renewed. so that we can see things on a spiritual level and not how we used to think and how we used to live? Well, you know the agent of this bring truth into our lives. You must look at John 16 with it starting in verse 12. And I want you to turn there if you have your Bible, because this is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. So this is very important, and it's found in John 16. And I will turn there too. John 16, verse 12, which says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into what? All truth. That all truth encompasses the truth about God, the truth about Christ, and the truth about ourselves. You know, we have to be renewed. We have to renew our minds. We have to think differently. And that's the Holy Spirit's task in us. He'll guide you in all truth, for shall he not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So, the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth's mission is to conform us into the likeness of Christ. While we're still living on this earth, the Holy Spirit will teach us and remind us of everything that Jesus has said. Things about the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son. And if we read the New Testament very long, we'll see that the Holy Spirit is teaching us how to be like Christ. And Christ is the truth. You can see many, many times the truth about ourselves and the way that God sees us in Christ is brought to the forefront as we read Scripture. And this is what Paul is referring to when he refers to the belt of truth. And I'm talking about integrity, being honest with people, being honest with yourself, being honest in all that you do, in all that you say. No exaggerations. You know, exaggeration is just a lie, dressed up in different clothes. And all these things, there's no such thing as white lies. No, the Holy Spirit wants us to be truthful. This is part of the armor of God. We don't want to appear as double-minded or a hypocrite to the world. We must live in truth. Without being honest about ourselves, our whole armor will fall apart. Remember the breastplate and the sword, and we're all attached to this belt. And without it, everything else will fall apart if we are not living in the truth. I know what the world says. I know what they say about truth. The truth is within you. There's not any absolute truth. It's all relative. Well, only a fool would say that, because that is not true. Usually when somebody says there's no absolute truth, I would say back to them, are you absolutely sure? Are you absolutely sure that's the truth of what you're saying? So it comes right back on them. So, but God expects us to be truthful. So without being honest about ourselves, our whole armor will fall apart. See how these passages, the whole Christian life is putting on the armor of God, folks. Not just one book. You know, it's just not one little passage in Ephesians 6 and 7 or 8 or 9 verses. It's the whole book. It's all the Scriptures. There should not be a hint of hypocrisy in our life. How are we doing so far, folks? How are we doing? Are we going to be honest with ourselves? God expects it. God expects it for a place of blessing, peace, and rest. And no harm will come to us. God's not going to let anything befall us. It's not out of His will. We'll live inside the will of God, walking on His path. So when the Spirit, sword of God's Spirit says we are to draw near to our Savior, and we know we should do, how do we respond? Do we make excuses? Don't read the Bible because it's demands on our lives? Here's the truth of God's word says in Psalm 51:6. It says, quote, "Yet you desired truth in the inward parts. You taught me wisdom in the secret place." That's in the heart. God wants to teach us. God wants the best for us. So let us say yes. Let us be willing. Let us be honest. These are the things that will draw us near to the heart of God. Pass it on, my friends, and we'll all receive a reward. See you next week.